1 Corinthians chapter 10. We said 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10, they go together. And I think as we continue on in this chapter, if you've been back there when we studied chapter 8 and the points I made in chapter 9, that you'll see how closely they are connected. But last week, we studied verses 1 through 5. I'm going to give you a little review about that after I read it. But just to get started today, I only want to read to you verses 1 through 7. So follow along. I'll read those verses again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock which that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and to rose up to play." Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I pray that we'll be able to see the spiritual teaching that the Apostle Paul is bringing forth from the example of the Jewish people coming out of Israel, your people of old, and how blessed they were, and yet with many of them you were not well pleased. Father, I pray that none of us will stumble over the wording in this passage, but realize that there's a strong warning to all of us about being carnal Christians, about not growing and learning to serve and to please you. And may we learn from their example so that we don't fall in the same temptations that they fell into. So we pray that that might be clear as we study the passage today and even in the next couple weeks to follow. May we have a clear mind and receptive heart for the things said today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we actually study verses 1 through 5, as I said last week, and I was thinking about how to put it together as a review without, you know, getting tied down. The Apostle Paul, when he's reading, saying these statements that he's saying in these verses, let me read verses 1 through 5 again. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they drank of that same spiritual drink that followed them, and that spiritual rock that followed them was Christ." And that rock was Christ. "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." Verse 6 tells you Paul said all those things for an example for us. So if those things are said for an example for us, we should be able to look at that and see something about what God has done for us. The first thing to realize is in verses 1 through 5, it keeps saying all. That they all passed through the sea, they're all baptized unto Moses, they all ate the same spiritual meat, they all drank. There's five things that they all shared. They're all equally blessed of God. Then the all in verse 5 went to the many. "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." So as much as they were blessed, they did not please God in some of the things that they did. And now we're going to study in verses 7 through 10 here, is the five things that they fell into temptation and were judged of God. And remember, both 6 and verse 11 tells us this is being written for our admonition, so that we should be able to look at that and see there's something Paul wants us to see in that concerning us. So in my review that I wrote, and I've sent it to Joyce already, so it'll be on the back of next week's bulletin. It's too late to put it on this week's bulletin, and we're going to take the time to put it up on that screen thing that draws too much attention for me away. So you'll be able to get this in writing next week. But just consider, this is kind of a summary of what we taught last week. God used Moses to call Israel out of bondage to Egypt. God used Paul's gospel to call us Gentiles out of bondage to sin. Israel stood still and saw the salvation of God and was saved through the sea. We too are to stand still and see the salvation of God and are saved through the cross of Christ. At the moment of Israel's salvation, they were baptized unto Moses, a dry spiritual baptism. At the moment of our salvation, we are baptized into Jesus Christ by the Spirit, a dry spiritual baptism. All Israel was given the same spiritual meat. their daily bread from heaven to sustain them physically. We have been given the same spiritual meat of God's word from heaven, our daily bread, to sustain us spiritually. All Israel drank of that same spiritual rock, the source of life, which was Christ. We all drank of the same rock, the source of life, the Holy Spirit from the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. So summarizing that, we have all been called, saved, given a new headship, given the word of God from heaven in Paul's epistles, and given the Holy Spirit to produce the life of Christ in us. Then consider, but with many, God was not well pleased. If you understand anything about the book of Corinthians, Paul is scolding the Corinthians because of the life they're living, a carnal life, fleshly life. They're not growing when they should have been growing. And what you have is some misuse of their liberty starting in chapter 8. And Paul gives an example of proper use of liberty in chapter 9. But in chapter 10, Paul's given some strong warning here about carnality. And uses the nation of Israel and their temptations in the wilderness and God's judgment upon them to warn us. It is my prayer, and I don't know exactly where to fit this in, but it is my prayer that as we go through this chapter, I don't make you stumble and fall to not hold on to how secure you are in Christ. Because once you're in Christ, you're baptized into Christ, you're His forever. Your temptations into sin does not affect your salvation whatsoever. But at the same time, I don't want to say that to reduce the warning that Paul has in his epistles, that what he's warning about the nation of Israel displeasing God, there's a warning here to saints in the age of grace about us not walking pleasing unto Him. And I don't want to take away from that warning just to make you feel secure. The security is there because you're in Christ and Christ paid for all your sins. But how you serve the Lord does make a difference. What you do with your life does make a difference. And as we move into this area of warning, you can see that. Now, even before I start giving that first warning, there's some things that really go along with last week. We were talking about looking at Israel, all equally blessed, all equally provided for, all not thinking of the right word here. Anyhow, they all had the same provisions given to them. But then that statement, with many, God was not well pleased. So they were first saved. That's the point. When we outline this chapter, those verses 1 through 5 have to do with salvation. When you follow that, after salvation comes service, and these warnings have to do with Israel's service. So they were first saved, then they were disqualified. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25? Verse 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And the context there is running a race and winning the prize. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about service. And so we started out in the chapter 10, Israel's first saved. But then after they were saved, they were disqualified from the service of God. And that's where the judgments that follow here come in. It has to do with service. They're saved by God, and they were saved to be, the nation of Israel, a light to the Gentiles. But instead, they lived in darkness like the Gentiles. And you'll see that over and over again. All you got to do is read Exodus to Deuteronomy and realize Israel always turned toward the Gentiles to live like them. They were saved to serve God. That's the whole purpose of the nation of Israel. But they actually lived for the devil. Now, when I say that, look again at verse 4. It says, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That referencing where Paul is talking about, we saw how they did strike the rock, and water came out of the rock, and they were all provided for us to sustain their life. Can you imagine being in a desert, no water? Well, God provided. But Paul's telling us a spiritual truth there, that rock was Christ. That the true life comes from Jesus Christ. And when he starts mentioning a rock, that meant something to Old Testament times, both to Jews and to Gentiles, because it's the Gentiles that actually worshiped rocks. They made them idols and they worshiped things like a rock. But Israel was different than the Gentiles. They were to be a light to the Gentiles. Hold your place in Corinthians. Come to Deuteronomy 32. And you'll see Moses uses that same type of illustration to, well, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to give these warnings to the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. This is where God divides the nations and then divides them into 12. It says, but concerning Israel, it says in verse 9, the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He founded them in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led them about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. So the nation of Israel was separated out from the nation. That's what coming out of Egypt is all about. But they were to be God's people in the earth. And so there's a warning to them. When you get down to verse 15, even though God blessed them, and that when he calls them Jeshurun, that's Israel who's enjoying their blessings, it says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxed fat, then art thou grown thick, and art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Well, that's Israel after they've been blessed of God and made fat, that they all of a sudden turned against the rock of their salvation. And, you know, there's a reference there. Gentiles worship rocks, but the rock of Israel's salvation was God himself. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils and not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom our fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful. Thou hast forsaken the God that formed thee. So there's a warning to the nation of Israel about the true rock, and then a warning about them turning to a rock. And that is, that would be actually a worshiping of devils. Over in verse 31 it says, for their rock is, that is the Gentiles' rock, and you notice it's a small r, their rock is not our rock with a capital R, even our enemies themselves being judges. So the Gentiles, they worshiped a rock, but that's not Israel's rock. God is Israel's rock. The Lord is Israel's rock. And Israel turned to worship their rock, the Gentile rock. And there's a warning to them, so that when Paul brings that up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it's a warning about Israel failing to recognize the rock, with a capital R, that followed them, the one, the source of life, which is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have the same thought, we don't need to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 16, when Peter acknowledged who exactly Jesus Christ is, not what the false teachers are thinking, but when he says, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Those that will acknowledge who the rock is. You realize a lot of people don't know who that rock is, don't you? They think it's Peter. But it's Jesus is the Christ. And Peter, when the Lord said, upon this rock, he knew what rock he was talking about. Christ is the rock. And that's who Peter just acknowledged that Jesus Christ is. And that's going to be the believing remnant of Israel that acknowledges who he is. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now look at verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. The problem that Paul's dealing with here is the Corinthians wanted to go back to their old life. They thought, well, I'm saved. I realize those idols are nothing, but boy, they sure have a good service there. They have all kinds of activity going on. They got all kinds of food going on. They have all kinds of partying going on. And I'm saved. I can use my liberty to go backwards. And Paul said, no, you go backwards. They're worshiping devils. And I would not that you have fellowship with devils. So that warning about the rock, and for them to remember who the true rock is important to the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 here. And in light of that, look as well, look at verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "And they did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock." Well, I should start in verse 3. "They did eat the same spiritual meat, and they drank the same spiritual drink." So you got this eating and drinking. Look over at verse 16. "The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." So he goes back to Israel and what they partook of, what God provided them with, and here's what God has provided for us. There is a meat, there is a drink. It's the body of Christ that was broken for us. It's the blood of Christ that was shed for us. But then drop down to verse 21. "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" Do you see the warning of 1 Corinthians 10? Wanting to go backwards when we've been called saved, but called to serve. And the Corinthians were not growing. And instead of growing, they wanted to go backwards and participate in the pagan worship that was in their city that they grew up with. And Paul, when he gives a warning there, man, that's a strong warning. It's not about losing salvation. I see it as being the end of the age of grace. When grace believers no longer fulfill the purpose that God formed the body of Christ for, it's over. And it was over for Israel when they turned, who was supposed to be a light to the Gentiles, and failed to be that light. So in these verses that we're about to study, Paul's going to talk about Israel's failure, but just like we learned about our salvation as a comparison to them in verses 1 through 5, what you're going to learn about is five temptations in verses 6 through 10 here that we face in life, that Paul's going to talk about them but with the idea about you and I succumbing to these temptations. A long time ago when we studied the book of Ephesians, we've already mentioned twice in the service already, about the spiritual warfare that's written in Ephesians chapter 5. You know how many armor that we're to put on? Five pieces of armor. There's five attacks that come from Satan. There's five temptations listed in this verse that you and I are to be careful not to be tempted to go backwards in our Christian growth. And so that's the purpose of this passage of Scripture. You ask the question, can Christians really do this? Well, the Corinthians were going to do it. Can Christians really fall into temptation? I always have trouble when someone says something like that. It's like, do you live in an imaginary world? Like they don't have temptations? Look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." Oh, so when you say that to me, I realize you face the same temptations I face in life. You're just acknowledging, you're not acknowledging that they've tempted you. Now hopefully you didn't fall into the temptation. I'm not talking about falling into temptation, but we have temptations that come our way in life. And those temptations are not uncommon to everybody else. We all face those. And some Christians not only get tempted, but some Christians fall. Hopefully they can recover, because grace covers it all. And they don't have to spend the rest of their life living out their sinful habits. They can put those aside, thank God for His grace, realize Christ not only paid for their past sin, their present sin, but He paid for that future sin too. And they don't have to identify with sin. They can reckon themselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God and get back to business serving Him. But the Christians do fall into temptation. Don't think it can't happen to you, because verse 13 says there is no temptation but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You didn't have to give in. But will with the temptations also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So you realize the context that we're dealing with in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and now the warnings about taking heed. Look at verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." So as we go through verses 6 through 11 here, or verse 10, let's take up that admonition to take heed, lest we fall. So now, verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So verse 6 not only tells us that the things he's saying are examples to us, he starts giving us examples not to fall into temptation that they fell to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So the first warning is there about lusting. And notice it says lusting after evil things. Well, Paul's going to tell us that we can actually go back and find out what Paul's referring to, because we got the scriptures of what the nation of Israel did and when they fell a-lusting. So first, before I take you there, I want you to come to Exodus chapter 19. Now, for those who don't think they have enough hands, we'll end up back in the book of Exodus before the day's over. But we're going to mostly look at Numbers. But I want to show you this in Exodus chapter 19 first, just because of how what we're going to read in the book of Numbers, so I can show you the lusting that the Apostle Paul is referring to. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they to the wilderness of Sinai." So, understand that this is early. Last, when we studied those five things that Israel, their salvation, in those five examples in 1 Corinthians 10, we started in Exodus 13, 14, 15, 16, even 17. We went from chapter 13 to chapter 17. And now you come to verse chapter 19, you're only in the third month. Those things happened early. They were very early in Israel's life, and all the things that were covered in there in those first five verses, God was dealing with Israel with kid gloves. He was actually proving himself as trustworthy, as dependable, that he would provide for them food, manna from heaven, rock, water out of a rock. They could trust him. No matter how long they're going to wander in the wilderness, God is there for them. He is faithful. He proved that to them, and even though they murmured and murmured and murmured, God just kept giving and giving and showing them he's dependable. But after you leave Mount Sinai, and that's where we're going to go when I get to the book of Numbers. When you leave Mount Sinai, now Israel has been proven that God is faithful. And rather than growing in faith and walking by faith, they continued to murmur and act like babies until they actually got to the point they're tempting God, and in his rage and jealousy, he judged them. So that you go from salvation to service. And in salvation, you got the milk of God's word, and you grow. Hopefully, you grow. But there comes a time that you learn to walk by faith and walk as a mature believer. And that's the example that we're going to learn is Israel didn't grow. The example that we're learning from the Corinthians, Paul writes, he says, "Are ye not carnal?" And the Corinthians were carnal, even as babes in Christ, he says in chapter 3. So here they are in the third month. Now, when I show you the third month here, those who want a little bit of a study, they came out of Egypt on Passover. If you're in the third month, what holiday hits the third month after Passover? Something like 50 days later? It's called Pentecost. And interesting, Pentecost, here they are going to give the law, but Pentecost is a picture of God writing the law in their hearts under the new covenant. But that's extra. Go over to Numbers. It's there. I just wanted you to see it's there. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "The Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying..." So I just wanted you to get the timing as we're coming into the book of Numbers. You're in the next year now. They've been wandering a year in the wilderness. They've seen God provide for them in the wilderness for a whole year now. So we're not just talking about someone who never knew that they could trust the Lord, depend on the Lord. They've been dependent on him for a whole year. Come over to chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that a cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of testimony, and the children of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. So they've left Sinai now, and that's where I started warning you. They've seen God. God's proved himself to them. It's time for them now to learn to they've already learned, they should have learned. It's time for them to practice a walk of faith. But instead, we come to Numbers chapter 11. And it says in verse 1, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place Tabaratha, because the fire of the Lord burned among them." So now they're complaining, and God's not just listening to their complaints. He's aggravated by their complaints. Judgment fell upon them. Now, verse 4, it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting." Now we're finding where Paul said we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Here's where they're lusting. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic." I don't know if that makes you hungry or not, but some of it does. But, you know, that's a lot of flavorful stuff. You know, for them to make that statement, "We remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely." What do you get freely? You were slaves in Egypt. The reason you ate all that is that's the leftovers after you worked in the gardens to feed the Egyptians. You were slaves. You didn't eat nothing for free. "But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." And then he goes on to explain what the manna was looked like. And by the way, if you go back to Exodus 16, the end of those verses, you even find out what it tastes like. But here they're falling a-lusting, and they're sick and tired of eating manna. They've been eating manna for over a year now. Now, I don't know about you, if you had the same meal for a year, they eventually ate it for 40 years. You got to eat something to stay alive. But I don't know about you, but, you know, we could blame them all we want. But if you ate the same meal every day for a year, you're liable to do a little bit of complaining yourself. At first, it tasted great. But, you know, the more you eat it, you know what to expect, and the newness wears off. So they're complaining, and they're actually looking back at Egypt as a time when things were just so wonderful, and they had all this food to eat, forgetting exactly that they were slaves in Egypt and delivered from the bondage of slavery unto Moses and unto God in the wilderness, and God provided for them bread from heaven. And all of a sudden, all that has faded away, and so here they are, as the verse says, they fell a-lusting. Now, remember Paul said that you should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Evil? The fish and the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks, the garlic, the onions, all that's evil. What it is they wanted more than that, than what God provided for. But you know, you look at that list. We were studying the book of Romans, and we found out that the word evil doesn't mean sinful. It just means bad. If it's not what God provided for you, if it's not God's will, then it shouldn't be something you're lusting after. You should be satisfied with what God has provided. You ought to be satisfied with the will of God and not have a will opposing to God. If you do, that's evil. And God has not provided the things that they wanted for them, and so they're falling a-lusting after those, what he's calling, evil things. And they're not evil in themselves. They're just not what God provided for them. Now, look over in verse 31. I'll point this out first. Verse 31 says, "And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quail upon the sea, from the sea, and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp. as it were, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. So God says, oh, you want something other than manna? I'll give you quail. Oh, great, finally some meat to eat. But when he brought the quail, when it says a day's journey, now, you know, a good person could easily walk the average of about 20 miles a day. Say, you know, they got kids and children, it's a big camp. Say they could only travel 10 miles a day, but it could be 20 miles. 20 miles in front of them is quail. 20 miles behind them is quail. Round about 20 miles to the east, 20 miles to the west, quail. In a circumference of 10 or 20 miles, let's say 10 miles. According to verse 31, it says 2 cubits. A cubit's 18 inches. That's 3 feet deep in quail. For 10 miles. You want food? I'll give you food. And God gave them food. It says, and the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day and gathered quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. Schofield says a homer is 86 gallons. Now, say a quail, you know, how you relate that to a gallon. Say one quail is a gallon. That'd be 860 quails that the laziest guy in the camp gathered together. So it says, the least of them gathered 10 homers, and they spread them abroad for themselves around about the camp. And while the flesh was between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kidroth Hathavath, because they buried the people that were lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hathabath unto Hazareth and abode at Hazareth. So there's a statement that's made in Psalms. I'm just going to read it to you. In Psalms 106, where the psalmist, David, is going over Israel's good and what God has blessed them with and then the judgments that fell. And the statement that he makes there is, yeah, I looked it up this morning. Oh, it's 106. It was there this morning, so I know it's there. And it says, it talks about they soon forgot the works and waited not for his counsel, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request and sent leanness unto their soul. You get the idea that they're over there, and as they're eating this quail, they got tons of quail, they got all they want, but while they're eating, the flesh starting to rot. I mean, you got all this quail, dead quail in the desert. How long do you think it's going to last? They're not going to eat this in time before it rots. And while they're eating it, it's rotting, and there's a plague among them, and it's killing them because God gave them the desire of their heart and sent leanness under their soul. Now, all that's being said where the Apostle Paul is telling you and me that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And evil things there are not always sinful things. They're just not the things that God provided for us. It's not the will of God for us. And if you take the body of Christ and the carnality, when I say the carnality, are you still in Numbers chapter, where are we at? Chapter 11 there? Look at verse 10. It says, and Moses heard the people weep throughout the families, every man in his door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I consumed this? Have I conceived all these people? Have I gotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, and nurse as a nurse, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? And so God eventually says, Moses, here. Moses said, I'd rather die. Just kill me. You know what it is there? I say that to you because think of the Corinthians, carnal Christians. Paul spent a year and a half himself ministering to them. Leaves Years later, they're still in the same predicament, babes in Christ that haven't grown, complaining, fighting, living in sin. And Paul's warning them about that. And it's just like Moses with the children of Israel, they continue to be carnal. And Moses, you know, said, I didn't conceive that. They're your people, Lord. Why did you put it on me? So Paul and Moses kind of can relate a little bit here. So I say to you that when Paul writes and says that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, think of the things that you can be discontent about. And that is a lot of, remember, the rock that followed him is Christ. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We've been all blessed equally, saved equally, secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after a long time, if we haven't grown, we can be discontent about just being saved and kind of want to go back to that old life and lust after things that we used to do or used to want, or within the Christian life, someone who's no longer just satisfied being belonging to Christ, not satisfied being part of the body of Christ, not satisfied with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Yeah, that's good, but I want some of that physical blessings Israel had. I want to be what God called them to be. And we could fall a lusting even in things that are not directly sinful, just not the things God has given us and blessed us with. And we can let our heart go that direction. So Paul warns us about lusting after evil things as they also lusted. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, you know, by the way, when you study these five things, you're going to find out they're not in order. Because he's talking about here at Sinai that this took place, that 40 days where Moses is up receiving the law from the Lord, that He goes 2 years before after Sinai, then backs up while they're at Sinai, this started setting in. And judgment was falling back then, even at Sinai. And so he goes back to that, but to warn us of the, it's not so much the order that Israel went through, it's the order of how temptation can take you. Don't lust after evil things. Then the next thing, don't be an idolater. And you think, well, I'm a believer, I can't be an idolater. Well, we've already pointed out how close the Corinthians were going back to idolatry, didn't we? So you understand why Paul is warning that. But he's referring back to the time of Sinai. So go back to Exodus chapter 20 this time. Exodus chapter 20. I'll point out some things before that incident that Paul's referring to. First of all, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, I don't think I need to read the whole law to you, but this is where Israel, if you look at chapter 19, verse 16, they've come to Mount Sinai. God is going to appear on Mount Sinai, and on the top of that mount, it says in Exodus 19, verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. So they're learning to fear the Lord here. So when you get to chapter 20, here's God speaking to the nation of Israel from Mount Sinai. They're at the foot of the mountain. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't put anybody before me. I'm God. And the God that brought them out of Egypt, by the way. And then it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That is those who don't choose God, those who don't love God. Verse 6. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Love is a choice. Those that are going to have no other gods before him, those are the ones who love him. Those that are going to put other gods before him, they hate him. He warns them, they're under the law, and this is how he's going to judge them. So you're reading the laws, the first five laws that are given to Israel has to do with their relationship to God. The next will be about not taking his name in vain. And then the last one is honor thy father and mother. That relates to God because he set the order of obedience. God above all, but for children, parents above them. So, and then after that, you get down to like verse 13 about not killing, not committing adultery, not stealing. That's sins against people. So we started out there where God gives these, and Israel is hearing this from the voice of God, that mountain that's shaking, and they're pretty afraid. You get over to verse 22. Verse 18. It says, and all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise and the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for the Lord is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. So at this point, the people are saying, Moses, God said enough. You go personally talk to God. You go up to the mount, let God give you the law. And we're afraid to listen to him anymore because he's got them scared. And Moses said, good, now you got the fear of the Lord in you. So Moses goes to the top of the mount. Now come to Exodus 32. It says in verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down, he's been gone for 40 days, come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wrought not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. I don't know if the adult men don't have earrings, but the young men have earrings. It says that all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them of their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. So he first makes the image, and then he graves it, makes it better looking. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They forgot that law 40 days later, where I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt, have no gods before me, don't bow down to any graven image. And now already they're ready to bow down. And it says, and when Aaron saw it, I'm not sure what it means by that. He made it, but it says when he saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Paul said, don't be idolaters like Israel. And isn't it interesting there that when they made up their own religion as an idolater, they made a party out of it? To eat and to drink and rose up to play. Even for the Bible to use the word play there. I don't know, play instruments or just play. If you're going to make up a religion, make up one that it's all carnal, all fleshly, all whatever you want it to be. And that's exactly what they did. I remember Corinth, that's what they used to do. And Paul says, don't you be idolaters that they were. Lusting and wanting to go back to that old life, that just living for self, not serving the Lord. But when you're living for self, you're actually serving Satan because it's an idolatrous thing. This is Satan, these are what Paul told them, you sacrifice unto gods. So there they are, and then Moses calls on Aaron and holds him accountable for what he's doing, and then God plagues the nation of Israel and judges them there at Mount Sinai. The Apostle Paul using all of that to tell us that we need to be careful that we don't want to go back to the old first lusting, and then lusting going back, actually serving the devil. That's what idolatry is all about. Even when you can think about the old religious life that so many people had, when they didn't know the truth. And they're going through all the religious ceremonies, and it all looks so good. But if it's not built on the truth, then it's really idolatrous worship. It's just man-made worship for the appeasing of man, to pleasure man rather than actually please God. So no wonder Paul says, with many of them, God was not well pleased. So you and I have to be careful about the different temptations that come in our life. First, the lusting after things that God has not provided for us and not being satisfied with what God has provided for us. And then get so carnal that you actually want to go backwards and live for pleasure rather than live for the Lord. And that's the state the Corinthians were in. And you and I, there is no temptation taken man, but such is common to man. So what the Corinthians experienced, what the nation of Israel experienced, isn't something that you won't experience either. But you can learn from their example. You can learn from a bad example and not let that temptation take you, overtake you, that you would fall into those sins. And so you see the Corinthians falling into those sins and God warning there about his displeasure. With many of them, God was not well pleased. I'm going to stop there. I was actually going to cover a little bit more about Aaron, but I think we said enough to stop for the day and realize there's still three more temptations they're facing. And I'll tie together the next week the connection of those five temptations and where they lead to. But we'll stop there for the day. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we do thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ. We thank you that you first give this example of Israel coming to salvation from Egypt, from bondage to sin, and how we can see that that is a picture of the gospel that called us unto salvation from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, from the presence of sin, but salvation into and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray then that we be careful that about our Christian life, that there is the milk of the word, time for us to grow, but then there's time for us to serve. And I pray that people will grow beyond just taking in the milk to taking in the meat and being careful about what their life is lived for. That we don't just live to satisfy our lusts and we don't live to live worldly and be a part of the world system, which Satan is the god of. But that, Father, we've been called to serve you. And I pray that each one of us will be careful about our Christian life and our walk and realize what a privilege we have to be your servants on earth today and to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.